Scale me up, Scotty. Calculate, got me up late. Gotta make another tray for Sunday. Ay, can't wait, not enough bait. Frost on my opponents, gonna call cupcakes. And it's no hate, just facts. There's just no way I'm last. Technically, I'm last. 101 pick, I'm bad. Bad at the bone, ain't mad at the dome. Ain't rather than know the anatomy. Know a value of roses, dandy to know the man. JPAZ, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the DTC Podcast, episode number 187. Is it 187 on the Undercover Cop?
I don't know, is it?
I think I might be jumping ahead a little bit. I'm going to check our feed. Oh, we're 181. Shoot. Here's what we're going to do for the next, at least seven shows. We're going to do what the police code is. Police code 181. I'm searching this. We're doing this.
I doubt it. They have, do you think they have 187 or that many codes?
I was helping my basically second sister. I call her as my best friend's sister. Study for her. She became a detective and you have to memorize all the police codes in order to pass. So we're helping her memorize them. And I don't know that there's that many, but there is a metric ton of police codes.
Hmm.
But yeah, you have to memorize them to pass.
How do you memorize all of that in such little time?
It's not little time. Police codes. I don't think there's a 181. Maybe it's like dead animal on the side of the road. We got a 181 on Highway 35. Interstate 35W, southbound. It's a raccoon. That's not good. Oh, geez. Yeah, it jumps around a lot. 186, 182, 181. I'm searching. Yeah, I don't see a 181. But so 182 is criminal conspiracy.
Oh, that's going to be fun next week.
Yeah.
We get to talk conspiracy next week?
Yep, and 187, the description is just purely and simply murder. So I can't wait for 187. We're going to murder this podcast. So criminal conspiracy next. We'll have to do a criminal conspiracy themed podcast.
Mm.
Speaking of conspiracies, for a while we had Leonard Fournette was being conspired with lots of different teams, tied to lots of different teams. Patriots, Redskins, Dolphins, all over the place. And now we finally have a resolution and we get to talk about them. So like this is some, I don't know that there's been a lot of real player news this offseason for us to cover. So this has been more quiet than previous years, in my opinion. I always feel like there's a ton of action, but we finally have something to talk about. And we have a couple of things. So that's what we're going to do on the show today. By the way, maybe I should introduce us so that way. Let me see if I can find a police code. This is going to be our 10751 code, which is our vehicle VIN violation. We're identifying ourselves. Our personal identification numbers here. I'm the host, John Paul Hurley. You may have heard of me from such episodes as 180 and 179. So I'm kind of a big deal. Joining me is my co-host, Izzy Elkafoss. He is Egyptian. He is, I have to say this now,
What's
he's the original
for that?
Pharaoh Fantasy. The code for Egyptian?
Like if they see an Egyptian, what's the code for it?
I'm just going to pick any two numbers and I'll just do whatever's closest to it. We'll do a random.
Let's go 4 and 7.
Okay. 470 is forgery. So police code 470. We got a 470 on DTC podcast number 181. Need all units to respond.
I like the forgery. I'm good with that.
All right. Forgery. There you go. Speaking of forgery, I have to clarify, Izzy is the original Pharaoh Fantasy. There are some mimics now. There's some forgeries.
Yeah, I'm humbled. I'm humbled.
I think you're right. Forgery is the greatest form of flattery, right? Copying, mimicking? What's the saying?
What is it? Imitation.
Imitation is the greatest form. And actually, that fits. So if the shoe fits, put it on your head. I think that's how that saying goes.
I don't know much about these fantasy pharaohs, but I'm hoping they do big things.
You're going to have to be their biggest advocate.
If they start to make it, I'm jumping on the bandwagon. I might
you
actually
have to help them.
Might sell my shares of this company and try to build them up.
That's a great
idea. They're the real homies.
There you go. And I think there's two of them that run it, so you three together can become the pyramid.
Oh, yes.
The fantasy pyramid. Yes. Oh, so good. Well, let's stop with the silliness and get into the real talk here. So do you want to talk about the Fournette stuff first? I think that's the biggest thing. And by the way, I'm pretty sure that we're the only podcast that's going to be talking about this. Nobody else is talking about Leonard Fournette right now, except for us.
Not a chance.
So there's lots of things to cover. Not only do we have to cover Fournette and his new team, but we have to cover like what's happening in Jacksonville too. So let's start with the Jags and then we'll kind of like leave things on the heavier note. But so just a really simple question. Who is the running back to own in Jacksonville currently?
Are we talking about who I think is going to get the most touches or who I think is the best value?
As far as who's on their roster currently, because I could see some changes maybe, but current on their roster, who do you think is the guy to own?
Once again, you didn't answer my question. The guy who I think is going to get the most touches or the guy I think is the best value?
Split it up. Do each.
Oh, man, you make it tough. I'm still a big fan of Armstead. I was a big fan of him last year. So I still am. I'm planting my flag on Armstead for sure. I think he's the closest. I said this last year. He's very simple. He's kind of a poor man's Leonard Fournette, and they had Leonard Fournette in the way they use Leonard. Armstead kind of fits into how they use Leonard the best. I think Armstead's biggest downside is his ability to pass protect, but at the same token, I think it's hard to say with Ozigbo and James Robinson if they can do that as well. So I think Armstead's the guy to own. I think he's the best. I do think he's the best value, and I think he's going to get the most touches.
Oh, so it's both.
Yes. Yeah, because Armstead, I think all three of them, I think James Robinson's getting this weird hype behind him because he's the most unknown, and he might be the guy. I just think that the odds suggest that it's going to be Armstead, who's been there the longest, and Ozigbo.
And Chris Thompson's not even really worth mentioning.
I mean, he's not. When I'm thinking about guys to own and who's going to be playing the most, I'm thinking about who has the best chance of getting over half the touches. And a guy that's a satellite back, like Chris Thompson's always been, can't get half the touches unless all they do is pass. Yeah. And I just don't see that happening. I think Chris Thompson's a guy that will see a lot of third down opportunities, but I don't see him being a guy that's going to be carrying the rock. And if he does carry the rock, he's going to be hurt anyway. So it'll be down to those three guys.
So do you think, like, what are, we're sitting here, like, recording this podcast a week before the NFL season opens up, and it's more than a week for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but what are the odds that they bring somebody in, and who's out there that you think could be a threat?
I guess I don't see them bringing anybody else in unless there's an injury. So I'm not too concerned about that. You know, Devonta Freeman's the only big name free agent that is a concern, and I just don't see the Jags pulling the trigger on Freeman. I think Freeman goes to the first team that suffers a major injury.
Yeah, and I think he might not be the right answer for that if he's kind of out of playing shape coming off injury himself, but we'll see. But I agree with that as far as the signing is concerned.
Yeah.
Okay, so that'll be interesting. And then kind of sticking with the Jaguars theme here, and like Fournette obviously shifts what the backfield looks like, but he also shifts what the entire offense looks like now too going forward. And you feel like Armstead can slot in there a little bit as a Fournette light, but what do you think this does as far as the offense is concerned? And like talk about maybe like Chark and what kind of involvement we could see in the passing game and with this change.
Yeah, I think they might shift more towards passing than they did last year, just based on the fact their entire team is going to be worse. So they're going to be forced to pass a little bit more. But I don't think the receptions, the way that they used their running backs last year, like it's not like Leonard Fournette is an amazing receiving back. And they used him because of supporting Gardner and the way that they just, maybe they want to get the ball out quicker and just manufacture touches that way. I don't see that changing with Leonard Fournette gone. So I still think the running backs are going to see, you know, 100 plus targets or whatever Fournette got. I wonder what the running backs got in total. Got to be close to 120, 130, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to pull that up. That's a good question. But I don't see that changing. Let me look that up because I'm curious.
Armstead had 24, Ozigbo 5, so 129. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good, like right around 130.
130. I don't know if that changes all that much going into 2020. I think between 100 and 130 is a very reasonable number for the running backs.
And gosh, this would be like a next gen stat, but my inclination is that Minshew dumped off quite a bit too. He had a very accurate deep ball, but he did a lot of checking down. Obviously, but I think he's a rookie. That's a rookie comfort thing, but I wonder if that'll be the same.
I think it
for
will
him
be.
This year.
I think it will be. I think schematically they probably just want to get the ball out of his hands and into a playmaker as quickly as possible, just to kind of get momentum going. And I think that's kind of why the NFL in general has kind of shifted into getting their running backs touches that way in the receiving game, which as you recall, 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. And it's slowly become where running backs are, you know, it's essentially a way to create a screen, right? High efficiency way to get the ball into a playmaker's hands and generate, you know, a handful of yards.
It's a glorified rushing attempt now. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, it makes sense. It's always made sense. You know, running backs are typically going to be covered by a linebacker, and that's a mismatch every time in most cases. So I don't see that changing. I don't think it's a Gardner Minshew. He's just checking down right away. I think that's a schematic thing.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I want to shift the discussion towards Gardner Minshew himself, speak of the devil. Reading the tea leaves a bit, do you think that regardless of whether or not Jacksonville Jaguars are tanking to maybe try to get a high pick in the 2021 draft, maybe for a quarterback, the one that shall not be named, is it possible that they're doing that? And also, like, are you concerned with your Gardner Minshew shares on your teams just because whether they want to be or not, they're going to be a really bad team and they could have a very high pick?
No, not too worried about that. I mean, it's all about expectations, right? Gardner is a QB2, probably a mid to low QB2.
Yeah.
And you're getting him with an unproven running back stable with a poor defense. They should be behind in most games. There should be a lot of volume. Gardner also is solid rushing. I have no issues with Gardner Minshew's production in this year. I mean, it might not be as efficient as it was last year, but I think it'll be high volume. I think he'll get a ton of volume, and as long as he protects the ball, I mean, the big thing is a lot of first-time quarterbacks or first-time starters, their second year is when they struggle the most because there's actually extensive film on them. But I kind of like his swagger. He's kind of got the it factor to him. You know, I've been a proponent of buying Gardner Minshew at such a, you know, low value. So yeah, and I'm not worried about Minshew. I don't think that they end up as the worst team in the league. So I don't see Trevor Lawrence being the guy. But of course there will be multiple quarterbacks that end up going in the top, you know, 5 to 10, especially with this shortened season and players sitting out. There's going to be a lot of hype for some players, and there's going to be a lot of bad picks and a lot of reaches for teams. So could he get a first round quarterback company? I think it all depends on how he performs, but I think it's possible.
I could see the Trevor Lawrence thing coming to fruition. Like
how
the Jags are just shipping off all their talent. It almost looks intentional. Like with the, I don't know that the Colts intentionally did it for, was it for Andrew Luck? But
no,
I mean,
Curtis Painter was just bad.
Well, I mean that they didn't really make an effort to change that either, though.
I think their entire team was Peyton Manning. Like that was the house of cards just came down once he was hurt. Yeah,
that's true. Well, I mean, I guess they didn't have Edge at that point, but still. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I do think that the Jags could make a play for the worst team in the NFL, but there are a lot of candidates, so we'll see how that one goes.
Now, honestly, you look at the Jets. I mean, how are the Jets any better?
I mean, Darnold, Bell. I like Darnold just as much as Minshew. He's just kind of had such a rocky. It was last year he missed the first few games because of mono, right?
Yeah, I like Darnold, but who's Darnold passing to?
Yeah. Valid.
He's got Crowder and Rashard everybody Perryman. Else. Exactly. He's hurt. And you got Mims, who's hurt. You got Herndon, who's hurt.
Herndon.
Herndon. They don't have anybody healthy.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they'll get healthy. I don't know. But yeah, they are banged up, but they got some talent. A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather have the Chark, Westbrook, Chenault trio over the trio that Darnold has.
Yeah, I mean, outside of Chark, I'm not overly impressed. That don't impress me much, to quote a famous country
Shania
song.
Twain, right?
Shania Twain, yep.
Great tune.
We'll have to have a segment that don't impress me much, where you have to try like convince me of a player or set of players that you like and I have to decide if I'm impressed or not.
I like it.
Well, so I think that's pretty good coverage on the Jacksonville Jaguars side. Let's switch teams and go to the Tampa Bay side. So obviously, the big news was Leonard Fournette joining the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and I think he's going to try to steal Ronald Jones's number, which is funny. They both wear 27. We'll see how that goes. Now, I think just to start this conversation out, Bruce Arians has said, this was actually tweeted at me by one Schefter. Of our friends. What's that?
Schefter.
This was not, Schefter directly tweeted at me. It was a roto tweet that was quoted by a friend of ours that runs the Dynasty Dads podcast. And he's showing that Bruce Arians is double downing on his Rojo love, regardless of Leonard Fournette showing up. I don't know if I believe that or not, but I want to see what your take is. Do you believe Bruce Arians in saying that? He's not even really taken a look at Fournette yet.
Give me one example of Bruce Arians telling the truth.
I mean, I don't have a list of 10 codes for him either. So
he's the same guy that said OJ Howard is going to be a beast. And he was going to get the tight ends involved and all of that. Like, it's just, I'm not buying anything that Bruce Arians says.
Yeah.
Just not doing it. And the only way that, like I said, I think Rojo, this might have been scrubbed at the beginning, but I think Rojo will be the guy for the first couple weeks, the majority ball carrier for the first couple weeks, until Leonard gets comfortable with the offense. But after that, I don't see Rojo being the guy. Now, of course, I mean, let's say Rojo has turned a corner year three and he's better than Leonard Fournette. He's got more juice to him and he's capable in the passing game and all of that. I can see it. I just don't think that's the plan. Unless the only way Leonard Fournette was brought in that doesn't impact Rojo's, you know, bell cow status was truly if Keyshawn Vaughn is the worst draft pick of all time and LeSean McCoy has zero in him and they had nobody
else. Yeah, I can't imagine they keep all those running backs, right?
Then I wouldn't be surprised if they kept four. It's not crazy to me.
Okay.
And they got Dare. And Dare, I mean, they're going to get rid of one guy. It's got to be McCoy, right?
That's what I was thinking, but who knows?
Dare, unless they get rid of Dare, I mean, I doubt they cut their draft pick. That would make it the worst, one of the worst running back.
Yeah, I don't see them doing that. Yeah, I agree.
So it's like, you know, I'm looking at that offense and I'm saying, okay, the only reason you bring in Leonard Fournette is to be the guy. I mean, they're obviously trying to push for Brady's final couple years and just trying to get, you know, fast track to a Super Bowl, shortcut to a Super Bowl. I don't think they bring Leonard Fournette in after conversations with him. There's no way they sat across from at the Zoom meeting and said, hey, you know, we're going to bring you in. Rojo's going to be the guy. But, you know, if something happens to Rojo, you're it. And then Leonard Fournette's like, yeah, cool, I'll sign. There's just no way.
No.
The only thing I can see is, hey, you know, come in, we'll get you acclimated, and then once you're ready to go, you'll be the guy. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. I just don't see the Rojo being the guy.
It's funny, too, because the website I like to use to look at depth charts, OurLads.com, has Fournette listed, projected the starter. And then they've got McCoy listed ahead of Ronald Jones, which I think is kind of funny, too.
Yeah, I don't know. McCoy wasn't even playable last year in KC.
No.
So, I don't know. But then again, Bruce Arians said that he looks amazing. I'm over it. I'm over coaches.
Everybody looks amazing, yeah.
I'm over coaches, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just don't understand what the point is. Like, what's the point of just constantly lying?
Right. I agree with that. Now, I want to shift the conversation into values a little bit, too. So, Leonard Fournette, he slots in at a 19.3 now in a 12-team PPR Superflex. I think he dipped down, like, in the 12, 13 range when he was a free agent. So, there was, like, a really cool little, maybe you would consider it a buy window. I don't think anybody was selling for like a second, but maybe if somebody was just panicking and wanted to ship it, you might have been able to do that. But how do you feel like his value is now? So like I'd probably say like a mid 2021 first would be fair compensation. I don't think I would pay that, but would you sell for that?
Would I sell for a mid 2021 first?
Yeah, projected mid.
It depends.
Let's just call it 106.
The answer should be yes. But my concern is if you have Leonard Fournette in your roster and you're trading him for a 2021 first, you probably had Leonard Fournette as your RB1 or RB2. So, yeah. And there's not a lot of high volume running backs in fantasy to begin with. So if you're moving Leonard Fournette, you're taking yourself from what you were expecting to be maybe a contender to now you're going to be rebuilding. So making that move, asking me that question, you're now making the transition from contending to rebuilding. Unless I'm super deep at running back, I think that's the time that I would probably just say, okay, you know what? I'm probably not going to get better than this. I'm going to take the 2021 first because I'm not going to get more than this. But Leonard Fournette on a contender, if you don't have much depth, is more valuable to your, you know, championship potential than the value of getting the 21 first back. So I guess it really depends on your team situation on this. In a vacuum, I'd probably rather have the 2021 first. But it's close.
Now, I'm also taking a look at Rojo. So he obviously dipped significantly. I think McCoy is probably not worthy of talking about because he's kind of in the twilight of his career. Rojo has gone from like an 8 to 10 range all the way down to 3.1, which would be like a late 2021 second. So what's your recommendation around Rojo right now? What should people do?
Man, I think that's actually a really good spot. Late. Second is a pretty good price. I mean, that's the number for him. I think most people won't want to be trading much higher than that for him. I'd take that. I'd say I'd be buying for, if I can get him for a late 2021 second, I would probably do it. I wouldn't love it, but I'd probably do it.
Yeah, and just to be really specific too, looking at the historical value, like the trend line for him on his player card on DynastyTradeCalculator.com. Have you heard of that website?
I have.
Back in August, he was valued in the sixes, so 6.1 in this format, which would probably be like an early second. So he's gone from an early second value to a late second value.
I think that's about right.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know many people that, if you had Rojo before this news, I don't know many people trading first for him, but I don't know many people selling him for seconds.
Right.
Selling him for a second. So he was kind of in that range of nobody wants to buy him and nobody wants to sell him for the prices that are being, you know, requested.
Yeah. Now, one last follow-up question I have on the Tampa Bay side, then I'll open it up just in case you have any final notes to add. But what do you think? So, like, obviously, the Buccaneers bringing in a guy like Fournette, who is a high-volume guy, is a commitment to the running game, a commitment that they didn't have on their roster previously. What do you think this could do to the rest of the offense as far as fantasy football is concerned? Tom Brady, Evans, like anybody that you think could be impacted by this change?
You know, if Leonard was a high-end receiving back, I could see that being an issue. I don't think this changes much of anything with Brady and Godwin and Evans. I think the one thing it does do is help keep defenses honest. Because if you have Rojo back there, I don't think anybody's really worried about stopping Rojo. They're just going to stop Brady and let Rojo do what he does, which is kind of be okay, but not great. But if Leonard Fournette still has some juice, you know, if he's not overweight and he's in good shape and all of that, he could be a problem. So I think it helps the offense because defenses won't be able to just leave, you know, five men in the box. They're going to have to. They're going to have to respect the run game with Leonard. So I think it's good for the passing game.
Cool. That'll be interesting to see that. And before we move on, just as like a final note too, I'm looking at the trade wire. One of the more recent trades, this is before the news, obviously, but somebody, this is kind of a cool trade. Somebody moved Fournette and Kamara to get Saquon. I like the Saquon side, obviously, but with Kamara's kind of news, I would call it. His potential holdout news. I think the agent's working on a restructured contract right now, but there's still a little bit of risk involved there. And I think I like the Saquon side.
Yeah, before Fournette got cut, that's a pretty good offer.
Yeah, I would say so. 19 point. Yeah, and his value was 19.3 at that time. And it's gone down some since.
No, before the.
Oh no, yeah, 19.3 is current value.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I like the Saquon side before and after, but yeah, I could acknowledge that it's a good you know, trade before Fournette was released and before Kamara's holdout news. And mm-hmm. I don't think Kamara's going to hold out, but still. So that's good. So the only other piece of news that we're here to talk about is the Oakland Raiders wide receiver with Tyrell Williams hitting IR. And that's normally not big news in itself, but there's been a lot of hype around a rookie wide receiver named Brian Edwards. You thought I was going to say Henry Ruggs, but Brian Edwards, quote unquote, slots in for Tyrell Williams. And this is kind of big news because there were some people, a small group, it's kind of like a cult-like following that were higher on Brian Edwards as being probably valued ahead of Henry Ruggs in some people's opinions, not like in a trade, but what do you think here? What's going on?
I saw a poll and it was pretty damn close to 50-50. Before Tyrell getting hurt, I could see Brian Edwards. I can't see Brian Edwards being ahead of Henry Ruggs, or at least even with Henry Ruggs in terms of value. After Tyrell gets hurt, I can see how somebody can think that Brian Edwards is going to have a better season than Henry Ruggs.
Yeah.
And it's entirely possible. So I respect that side of it. I think he's a huge benefactor from this, obviously, because I still feel like it was going to be in two wide receiver sets. It was going to be Ruggs and Tyrell. Now it's going to be Edwards and Ruggs. And I think Darren Waller gets a huge bump from this, more than Edwards and Ruggs, and nobody's really talking about it.
Wow.
Because Waller is the guy that Derek Carr is most comfortable with.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So, and he's basically he's a glorified wide receiver in a sense, because that's where he initially came from. Like, that's what his original position was. So he's a mismatch problem. He's a guy that's been in the offense. We know he's talented. Derek Carr has a good relationship with him. I think Darren Waller will definitely, if he stays healthy, I think he's going to be a top three tight end this year.
Impressive. Very impressive. That's a go buy right there from Izzy. So go get yourself some Darren Waller. He was already kind of underrated before this news.
Yeah, I think he was like tight end seven, something like that, which is kind of confusing to me, but dude's a stud.
I think even lower than that. I might even look. So sign on to DynastyTradeCalculator.com. If you have a subscription, our rankings page is 100% completely customizable. If you're in a super flex league, PPR, 0.5 PPR, 10 team, 14 team, whatever format you got, you can customize our rankings page based on your league settings. It's pretty slick. So I'm going to do just like a regular 12 team PPR super flexes. I think that's becoming the most common. Filter to tight ends, and Darren Waller is slotted at the sixth tight end as far as how they're valued. And yeah, by the way, these rankings are how they're valued in the calculator. So
yeah, so tight end six, that's about right.
Yeah,
I mean, you have Kittle, you have Kelsey,
Andrews, Kelsey, Ertz, Ingram.
Andrews, Ertz, Ingram. Yeah, yeah, I think that's about right. I think he's pretty close to Ingram.
In what
the market suggests. I mean, I have Waller ahead of
Henry, Fant, Ingram, Hooper.
Yeah, I have him ahead of all those guys, yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. I like that. That's a good take. And then, so back to the Bryan Edwards talk here a little bit. There doesn't seem to be anybody behind him that's at risk to take anything, and he's got quite a bit of hype from his camp also. So I think he's going to be the guy, but what do you think this, so like as far as like a trade is concerned, looking at Ruggs and Bryan Edwards in the calculator, Ruggs is currently valued at 13.9 and Edwards is right on his heels now at 13.1. If you were in a rookie draft for some reason that waited till September to draft, where would you take these guys in a rookie draft now? Because this has obviously changed the landscape of this, the wide receiver class.
So I've always liked Edwards ahead more than I liked. So I always looked at it from a first-tier receiver, second-tier receiver. So it was the first-tier receivers were Judy, Lamb. Ruggs,
Rager,
and Jefferson. Now, it's kind of like the group that almost every draft had those guys going ahead of the second tier.
Yeah.
And the second-tier receivers were, and it was like the first five, second five. And the second five
Edwards,
Ayuk, Mims, Pittman, and I'm missing one. Pittman, Mims.
Chenault is probably too low, right?
I think that was the fifth one that was going. I'm probably missing somebody, but I think it was Chenault. But anyways, he's always my favorite of the tier two receivers.
Oh, T. Higgins, so, I think you missed, right?
Oh, T. Higgins, that's who it was. And Chenault was with Claypool and Van Jefferson. Yep. So, you know, I was very high on, obviously in each of those tiers, I was the highest on Ruggs, Edwards, and Van. I think Van is probably my favorite of all the receivers just based on value. But Edwards is now, I think, climbed into the tier one value of those. So now it's like a six man tier one.
Oh, wow. But do you think he's the bottom of the tier?
I do think he's the bottom of the tier just based on draft capital, just based on the fact that they drafted Henry Ruggs so high. I think that he is going to be the guy. And I don't know if Derek Carr can support Henry Ruggs, Darren Waller, and Bryan Edwards out of the gates.
Yeah.
So I think it's close. I mean, I like Jefferson. I think Lamb is the one guy that's going to struggle to see the targets out of that group. I mean, Jefferson's going to be, I think he's going to have to overtake Beasley if the Vikings are going to have to do anything.
Yeah,
you got Rager, who's obviously hurt, but when he comes back, there's really nothing in front of him. You know, all the guys outside of Lamb have nothing and really in front of him as is in terms of a wide receiver too.
Yeah.
So he's the only one that has two studs in front of him. But Bryan Edwards, from a talent perspective, I still think that he's in the fringe. I think he's in the Jefferson talent range, you know, Rager Jefferson range. I still think the top three are ahead of him in terms of talent.
Nice. That'll be an interesting one too. Like I like Justin Jefferson is one of my favorite wide receivers to produce more his first year, or at least the first part of the season. But you're right, he needs to overtake Olabisi.
I don't know if I haven't heard much of, you know, us being Minnesota guys. Nothing. I haven't heard much good things coming out of camp about Jefferson. And it sounds like BC's the wide receiver too right now.
Yep. Nothing. Not seeing anything at all. Yeah. And you would expect him to have a hotter start because he's, you know, he's a little bit more refined and he stepped into a team that had an opening. So we'll see.
Yeah.
So that's it for the Raiders wide receivers. Do you see this Tyrell Williams injury impacting anything else? Like, it's not going to...
Well, Hunter Renfro will obviously see more touches as well. But he's sneaky. I mean, he's one of those guys because he's small and white. Even I overlook him. But once again, this is a guy that, let's say, I think we're putting too much stock in, and I do this a lot too. If I were betting... I would bet more
you
just, heavily.
You changed directions on this like statement like nine times.
I know. I'm trying to provide an analogy,
okay,
or at least an example of what I'm trying to give you my perspective here. If I'm betting on Hunter Renfro to be more productive than I'm giving him credit for, and I'm valuing him in Dynasty. Like then I'm valuing him in Dynasty.
Okay.
if that makes sense. I don't see the upside with, in like most people, they don't see the upside with Renfro. So he's always going to be a guy that's underappreciated, but he's probably going to produce a lot more than his value ever garners. So if you're looking for production, buy Hunter Renfro. Like, he will produce, and he costs very little, and he had a really good rookie season relative to expectations. So, but if we're talking about upside and the offense, and if the offense needs to have explosive plays, it's going to come from that trio.
Yeah.
And it's going to come from two rookies. But if you're just looking for a guy that's going to come in and flex, maybe if Edwards and Ruggs struggle, he could be a wide receiver three. If you're lucky, higher than that. But I think he's a great buy. I mean, it's somebody we don't talk about ever, but he's a great buy.
That's true. I think if we were writing a yearbook, I would probably write him in as the most likely to surprise in 2020. Just because everybody is like distracted by these sexy, shiny new toys that came out of the rookie draft onto the team, and they're making big splashes in rookie camp. And it's like the Eminem song. Everybody's talking like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, and mother effers act like they forgot about Hunter, right? Isn't that the lyric?
I think that's how it might be. We'd have to Google that too.
I think we're going to play the podcast off with that song. The edited version, though, please, Mosier. there's a little bit of curse. Yeah, you want to go full curse?
No.
Okay.
No. Can't be having that.
We'll get dropped from iTunes
poison,
again.
That poison, yeah.
Poison.
But yeah, if you're a contender, I mean, I guess Hunter in a pinch could be, I don't know if I'd want him on a rebuilder, but if you're a contender, for sure, Hunter.
There you go.
Good depth, free depth. I mean, probably good production.
Super cheap, underrated, undervalued. Yep, I agree. And I think that's probably a good spot to stop the podcast, right? Do you have any final thoughts? Final thoughts by Izzy Elkavas.
No, I mean, Josh Gordon's back. Is that kind of, I mean, assuming it's reinstated soon.
Yeah, he's made too many appearances on this podcast. We're going to have
the Seahawks. I mean, this dude is the cat of Dynasty.
Yeah, he's more resilient than a Twinkie.
Dude.
He is the Dynasty Twinkie.
How many times has he disappeared and come back now?
It's 19, actually. I've got 19. Tally marks sitting on my desk where I podcast from, and it's a Josh Gordon counter.
The counter, yeah.
Yeah, how many back. Times it's has like his career gone up in smoke, and then he's returned to totally redeem himself?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what is funny about this Josh Gordon thing is, like, every time he's come back, the star has been a little dimmer, like dimmer. And now it's gotten to the point where most people don't give a damn, and his value isn't going to.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to fetch anything more than a third.
Yeah. And it's his age factors. Like
Yeah. He's 28, I think, right? Maybe 29. 28?
I think he's turns 29 this season. I don't know.
Maybe he is 29.
That's another Google thing. I think he's 29 this season, but I'm Googling it. Google will bring us the truth machine. He is currently 29. He turned 29 in April.
That's crazy. Yeah, he's going to be 30.
He got him.
That's insane.
He's a beast.
He was.
Oh, that's too bad. And that was the final thoughts with Izzy Elkavas. Jonathan Mosier, the producer, please play us out with a little bit of Eminem. Let's finish this off on the right foot. That's all we got for you guys this week. Tune in next week. Hopefully some more hot news drops so we can cover some cool stuff in the podcast. Otherwise,
well, next week is
bold predictions.
Bold prediction. Get some podcast. Waller in there. I kind of put that already in
that's
there.
That's true. We've got a few years of some pretty cool predictions that we might have to try to maybe what I'll do is I'll dig up some old episodes so we can recap some of the bold predictions, and then we'll do our new ones. Yes. That'll be fun.
Yes.
So tune in next week as we cover our bold predictions. That's all we got for you guys. Talk to you later. Bye. Bye. Please, you better bow down on both knees. Who you think taught you trees? Who you think brought you the ODs? Easy E's, Ice Cubes, and DOCs. The Snoop Dio double G's, and the group that said the police. Gave you a tape full of dope beats to bump when you stroll through in your hood. And when your album sales wasn't doing too good, who's the doc that he told you to go see? Y'all better listen up closely. All you that said that I turn pop or the firm flop, y'all are the reason that Dre ain't been getting no sleep. So y'all, all of y'all, if y'all don't like me, y'all are gonna keep
around with me and turn me back to the old me.
Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish, and act like they forgot about Dre. Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish, and act like they forgot about Dre. So what do you say to somebody you hate?
What?
Or anyone trying to bring trouble your way? One of his off things in the blood of your way? Yep. Just study your tape of NWA. One day, I was walking by with a Walkman on, when I caught a guy, give me an awkward eye. You look the mob in the parking lot, but it's dark and I don't give a fuck if it's dark. I'm harder than me trying to park a Dodge, but I'm drunk as f- right next to a humongous truck in a two-car garage. Hopping out with two broken legs, trying to walk it off. You two, call the cops. I'ma you in them now, barking dogs. And when the cops came through, me and Dre stood next to a burned-down house with a can full of gas and a handful of matches, and still weren't found out.
Right here.
So from here on out, it's the chronic two. Starting the day, and tomorrow's anew. And I'm still local enough to you to with a Charleston two. Slim Shady, hotter than a set of twin babies. And a Mercedes Benz with the windows up when the temp goes up to the mid-80s. Calling men ladies, sorry doc, but I've been crazy. There's no way that you can save me. It's okay, go with him, Haley. Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish. Act like they forgot about Dre. Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish. Act like they forgot about Dre.
If it was up to me, you stop coming up to me with your hands out looking up to me like you want something free. When my last CD was out, you wasn't bumping me. But now that I got slow company, everybody wanna come to me like it was some disease. But you won't get a crumb from me, cause I'm from the streets of I told them all them little gangsters, who you think helped mold them all? Now you wanna run around talking about guns like I ain't got none. What you think, I sold them all? Cause I stay well off. Now all I get is hate mail all day saying Dre fell off. What, cause I've been in the lab with a pen in the pad trying to get this label off? I ain't having that. This is the millennium of aftermath. It ain't gonna be nothing after that. So give me one more platinum plaque and rap, you can have it back. So where's all the mad rappers at? It's like a jungle in a habitat. But all you savage cats know that I when you were cuddling a cabbage patch.
Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish. That's like they forgot about trade. Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish. That's like they forgot about trade. Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish. Act like they forgot about Dre.